As I read it, why I chose this scripture for the theme that we're finishing up this Sunday, but I'll explain that in a minute, because it's a story of contrasts here, and it's about Peter, the disciple Peter. So let's hear from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 16. When Jesus came to the neighborhood of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples this question: "What do people say about who the chosen one is?" They replied, "Well, some say John the Baptizer, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "And you," he said, "who do you say that I am?" "You are the Messiah," Simon said, "the firstborn of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon ben Jonah. No mere mortal has revealed this to you, but my Abba God in heaven. I also tell you this, your name is now Rock. And on bedrock like this, I will build my community, and the jaws of death will not prevail against it. Here, I'll give you the keys to the reign of heaven. Whatever you declare bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you declare loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then Jesus strictly ordered the disciples not to tell everyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer many things at the hand of the elders, chief priests, and religious scholars, and then he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Rabbi," he said, "this will never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get yourself behind me, you Satan. You are trying to make me stumble and fall. You're setting your mind not on the things of God, but of mortals." May God help us to take to heart this, our reading from Holy Scripture. So during the month of November, we have explored prayers inspired by Anne Lamott's book, Help, Thanks, Wow. And I actually added one to that list, which I think is also essential, and it's the prayer Sorry, which we explored last week. So today I finish the series with this prayer, Wow. Wow is that prayer that we breathe into being when a single shock of surprise, our minds, our hearts, and our souls are touched by something deeper than words can capture, at least in that moment. Every time we have a wow experience, though, we always try to explain it in kind of bumbling words, what we experienced in the beauty and the devastation of that wow moment. Lamott writes that wow is often offered with a gasp, a sharp intake of breath, when we can't think of another way to capture the sight of shocking beauty or destruction, of a sudden unbidden insight or unexpected flash of grace. Wow means we are not dulled to wonder. Wow is that prayer that often draws us to God in one way or another. In those moments of wonder and awe, we are amazed and humbled by the imagination and beauty of creation and marvel at the infinite creativity and surprise that we still find in this universe, from the tiniest of particles to the grandeur of mountains and oceans and universes. Of course, the paradox of this wow prayer is that there are times when all we can say is wow, when we encountered something so painful, so devastating, so horrific, that our minds can only gasp out that painful wow. That hurts my heart, my soul, my mind. Wow, God, things are so broken and messed up. What are we What are you going to do about it? I had one of those this morning when I was driving in and listening to the radio, and it described, and tears came to my eyes even if with the description of this, with a doctor at the Peter Lougheed Center, I don't know anybody heard that, where this doctor was kneeling on the ground with his head in his hands as he called somebody to say that their loved one had died of COVID. And it choked me up because I was just on the Zoom call with DeWinton, and now people are knowing people who have been in hospital or ill with COVID. And it brings it so close to the heart and to our homes now that sometimes, wow, is the only thing we can say in the face of that kind of grief and devastation. In these moments of wow, of ecstasy and delight, of fear and dread, these amazingly human moments, we can be drawn toward God, either in delight or in despair. The world really is fearfully and wonderfully made. To make sense of wow, is to try to make sense of wow, is to undermine the sheer magnitude of life. Wow is a prayer of experience, of heart, of soul, not of mind. When you say wow, you're not thinking, you're experiencing. It's a prayer of being very present in the moment and of knowing that you are fully alive in that moment. Because wow is always experienced in the now, where many of us rarely live. We far too often dwell on the past, our hurts and struggles, or in the guilt of what we have done in the past. Or we continue to plan and dream and prepare for the future, trying to sort out our lives, and more often than not, the lives of others. And we don't live in the now. If we are fully present to our lives in this moment, however, that's where we are most likely to live happier and fulfilled lives, because we're not caught up in reliving the past or imagining a future that may or may not play out as we want it to. I had an incredible wow moment a couple weeks ago. I've started taking pottery classes. Now, if you've never thrown something or built something in a pottery, that's a wow moment in itself, just seeing this lump of clay turn into something. But that wasn't the wow moment I had. The pottery class is just south of Black Diamond, and it's you go down Cowboy Trail, which you get to see the mountains to the west. But I turn off onto this little gravel road south of Black Diamond. And then I turn onto an even smaller gravel road, which is a dead end, to get to the studio where I'm taking these pottery classes. And you remember at the end of October, just about a month ago now, we had a big snowstorm overnight on Friday night, and there was lots of snow on the roads on Saturday morning, and it wasn't that nice. So when I turned down the first gravel road, there was one set of tracks. Nothing had been cleared yet, and I thought my little car, I'm going to fishtail or lose it in the gravel, so I was very cautious. And as I came down the hill to turn onto the final gravel road, as I turned into that road, again, only one set of tracks on this small road, there was a coyote trotting up the tracks in front of me. And it was beautiful, silver against the snow. And as I pulled up this road, the coyote veered off into the woods to the right, and I carried on. And there was just a hill, and about 200 yards from there, I crested the hill, and I know this is unbelievable, but it's true. Standing to the left of me, just standing on the edge of this road, was this huge, magnificent moose, black moose, all by itself, just standing there on the edge of the road, watching as I drove along. And it did. It literally was watching me as I'm driving along, and I pulled up slowly and stopped. And the moose must have figured, then I can go across. So it just trotted across in front of me and off in the field to the right. And I'm fumbling to find my, you know, here's something, it just occurred to me, something about wow moments is, why do we want to capture them as a picture? Why do we not just take them in? But anyway, I'm fumbling for my phone as the moose trots off into the field. So I carry on and I've got a grin, my heart is just swelling. I'm like, wow. Wow, what a cool day. And as I'm doing that, there is something over top of me, flying over top of me, and it's a huge bird. And I'm like, what is this? And it was so low that I could see very well the bottom of this bird. And I looked up and I was stymied for a moment until I realized it had black spots on the bottom, but it was mostly white. And I realized it was a snowy owl just turning to white. And my heart is just going pitter-patter by then. What a wow experience that was. It still delights me, as you can tell, as I imagine what that story, it's unbelievable still to me, except wow, wow. Lamotte writes, when we are stunned to the place beyond words, we're finally starting to get somewhere. It is so much more comfortable to think that we know what it all means, what to expect, and how it all hangs together. When we are stunned to the place beyond words, when an aspect of life takes us away from being able to chip away at something until it's down to a manageable size, and then to file it nicely away, when all we can say in response is, wow, that's a prayer. Wow softens us. It draws us deeper into the wonder that is life, into the soul of curiosity where wonder resides. It calls us to move beyond what we can explain towards the unknown, the amazing, the miraculous. Wow moments become holy moments as we get a glimpse of God and God's infinite mystery and creativity. In those moments of wow, we are fully awakened to the reality of life and its complexity, both the stupendous and the horrifying. On our best days, it compels us to contemplate life as it truly is. Not to change it, but to fully engage it. Wow is a paradox prayer, as many of them are, I have explained this month, for it captures the spectrum of human experience. We revel in the serendipitous moments of wonder and beauty, wishing that these mountaintop experiences were more frequent, more intense, more available to us. Wouldn't that make life just a little more bearable, more enjoyable, if we had more of those experiences? On the other end, we try to avoid or ignore the moments when we encounter the ugliness and cruelty of life that stun us into despair. Why should there even be these moments in life? What do they contribute to our lives? But of course, all of us know. They teach us patience, compassion, humility. They cause us to contemplate our need, our vulnerability, our impermanence. The difficult wows remind us that life is fragile and sometimes cruel, and that we need each other and God to make it livable. I know that those majestic mountains that give me such joy and happiness almost every day also disgorge rocks and snow and mud that dismantle and destroy. I know that the waters that are life-giving also sweep people away in tsunamis and floods. I know that human beings who inspire me every day with their generosity and creativity and compassion can also be cruel and insensitive and selfish. Wow. Life is so strange and bittersweet and complex. We try to bring it down to the simplest elements and we cannot. Sometimes, wow is the only thing we can say. The disciple Peter knew this. We actually experience it with him in the passage I read today. In just one chapter, basically the same story that the writer has put together, one story is right after the other. Peter goes from the highest peak of the wow to the lowest level of wow. Jesus is talking to his disciples, walking with his disciples, and he's talking about his ministry and what is ahead for him. And he wonders aloud to them, "So who is it that people are saying that I am?" And somebody says, some people say Elijah, and others say maybe John the Baptizer, and some say you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And Jesus said, "But you guys, who do you think that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And Simon burst right out as Simon is wont to do. And Simon said, "Why, you're the Messiah. You're the one who came to save us. You are the Son of God." And he continued and he praises Simon and he says, "Good man, Simon. That's fantastic. I am so impressed with you that I'm going to name you Rocky." Also known as Peter. "It is on you and others like you that I will build my kingdom. You are strong and steady and reliable, Peter. You are a rock, and blessed are you, my friend, for what you have just said." And I can just imagine Peter preening just a little bit, sticking his chest out just a little further, his grin a little wider, and his laughter a little louder, for Peter was indeed a leader, strong, impetuous, curious, and loyal. This is a big wow moment for Peter, a highlight of his time with Jesus, for the one he loves so much has just told him that the keys to the kingdom is going to be handed to him. Jesus would use him to build the kingdom of God. He was Jesus' guy. When you love someone so much that you would give your life for them, this is the pinnacle of your life. Wow, what a high for Peter. Alas, in the very next story, it all comes crashing down. And we know what a crash like that feels like. You can fall a long way when you're on top of the world. As Jesus recounts what is to come next, his death at the hands of the establishment and his resurrection, which the disciples in those moments never understood, Peter was appalled at what Jesus was saying, and he pulled him aside and said, "No way, Jesus, no way this is going to happen to you. Pull yourself together and stop talking that way." And Jesus pointed at him and told him off. "Peter, that's enough. Get out of my way, you Satan, you tempter. You're trying to get me off track, and I will have none of it. Your eyes are not set on God. You are merely mortal." Oh, ouch. Knife in the stomach. And you can almost weep for Peter. For personalities like Peter's take these things pretty hard. His grandiose ego came crashing to earth. I wouldn't be surprised if he slunk away to lick his wounded pride. Wow, what a low. The rock on whom Jesus said he would build his church was humbled and subdued, crashing down to earth. Just perhaps, though, this is what makes us wise, enlightened, adaptable, human. We take life as it is. And we make the most of it, the good and the bad. That's what Peter, a mere human, did. He was the rock on whom the church was built, along with other fallible human beings like you and me. Who know that life is complex and convoluted and not all good, but not all bad either. Anne Lamott says, gorgeous, amazing things come into our lives when we are paying attention. Coyotes and moose and owls. She continues, this happens more often when we have as little expectation as possible. If you say, well, that's pretty much what I thought I'd see, you are in trouble. At that point, you have to ask yourself if you are even here. Astonishing material and revelation appear in our lives all the time. Let it be. Unto us so much is given. We just have to be open for business. Wow is the constant state of experiencing life as it is, not as we would want it to be. And being surprised by it. It means that we have to get out of our comfortable places to experience the new, the unexpected and unexplored, to see creation in new ways. As we finish this series on help, thanks, sorry, wow, I hope that you've been enriched by the possibilities of these prayers. There's so much that we can learn and experience when we encounter God through help, thanks, sorry, wow. I pray that your lives and prayers will be enlivened in surprising ways. I close by giving Anne Lamott the last word. If we stay where we are, where we're stuck, where we're comfortable and safe, we die there. We become like mushrooms living in the dark with poop up to our chins. If you want to know only what you already know, you're dying. You're saying, leave me alone. I don't mind this little rat hole. It's warm and dry. Really, it's fine. When nothing can get in, that's death. When oxygen can't find a way in, you die. But new is scary, and new can be disappointing and confusing. We all have this figured out, and now we don't. But new is life. Let's take a moment now to reflect, to spend some time thinking about these prayers, perhaps, or how it impacts our lives, or how do we want to be in the world? Let's just take some time for reflection.